A report from ProPublica last week documented a long relationship between Justice Clarence Thomas and Republican donor Harlan Crowe, where for more than two decades, Crowe took Thomas and his wife on trips that included private jets and yachts, trips that were not originally disclosed, sparking the question, can Democrats and Republicans unite behind changing ethics rules for Supreme Court justices? Our co-host Michelle Martin spoke with two experts on this, Julian Zelizer, a professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University, and Virginia Cantor, chief ethics counsel with Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics.
The fact that he was accepting repeatedly private plane trips, yacht cruises, luxury resort vacations without disclosing them indicates he was in violation of the Ethics in Government Act, which it was passed by Congress after Watergate, that clearly gave him the obligation to disclose these gifts of travel, and which he had previously disclosed on earlier occasions.
Well, talk about the friend piece, though, because they both insist that they're just friends and that some friends give friends a ride home in their station wagon. You know, some friends give other friends a ride on their private jet. Does it matter?
There's two things about that. One is that in terms of disclosure, the only exception for reporting gifts from friends is something called the personal hospitality exception, and it only applies to food, lodging, and entertainment. It does not at all apply to transportation. And then the other problem is that in terms of accepting a gift under the judicial gift regulations that apply to him, they can only be accepted from someone with whom he had a personal relationship. And that would be evidenced by facts that would show that he had a pre-existing relationship before he went on the bench and that it was a reciprocal relationship. In other words, as a friend, I invite you over to dinner and you invite me over to dinner, right? That's reciprocity. But there's no way Justice Thomas and his wife could ever afford these types of gifts, let alone reciprocate them.
And the fact that Harlan Crowe met Justice Thomas after Justice Thomas joined the court in 1991, is that a relevant fact here?
Yes. The fact that they met after he took office completely undermines the argument that it was a pre-existing personal relationship.
Professor Zelizer, you wrote an op-ed for CNN that said the court is already in a crisis of legitimacy and that this does not help. Could you say a little bit about that? Like, why do you say that the court is in a crisis of legitimacy?
I mean, first, there's just polling that shows one of the institutions that somewhat withstood the aftermath of Vietnam and Watergate, an era when we have seen rising levels of distrust in government institutions. The polls are now falling on the court. I think institutions depend on some kind of accountability. And the stories that now surround Justice Thomas are bringing kind of immense questions, not just about him, but about how the court operates. How do we police what justices do and can't do? And can we have confidence that justices in the highest court of the land are making decisions based on their interpretation of the law rather than their political preferences? And I think we're at one of these important pivotal turning points when the court has to decide what it's going to do, if anything. And if the court isn't going to do something, will Congress perhaps step in? And so those are the reasons I see this as incredibly problematic for the institution, not just the person who's the focus of this.
Ms. Cantor, can we talk a little bit about what other federal workers and appointees are required to disclose? Let me just mention here, we spoke with a former attorney for a federal agency. His name is Joel Cockrell. He told us about the strict ethics rules he was required to follow over his long federal career. He talked about limitations on giving and receiving gifts and attending events and why those rules existed. Let me just play that for you.
I think they were designed to make sure that there was no pretense or even an appearance of impropriety. The message he sends, the appearance of impropriety, which was drilled into us time and time again, he doesn't seem to care about. And I don't know if they're going to do anything about it at all. That's what's really troublesome.
Tell me a little bit about what rules just regular folks working for agencies have to comply with, and how is it different for Supreme Court justices, if it is?
For regular government employees, they are bound by very strict regulations, which actually bar them from accepting any gift that exceeds $20. So something like private aircraft, yacht cruises, luxury resort stays, it's just completely out of there.
Out of the question. It's just out of the question. When issues like this arise, supporters of the individuals tend to think that people are just being haters, basically. The only people who care about this are people who don't like these people or their politics anyway. And I just wanted to ask if either of you feels that there might be a point at which people from both parties might see this as a problem. Professor Zelizer, what do you think?
The flip side isn't simply that why are Democrats focused on this? It's why are Republicans not more concerned about this, which is another element of the politics. But look, we've had moments where the American public can look at behavior that's happened in the past that hasn't really come under a spotlight, and a story, an individual story, becomes so egregious that it actually shakes some of the partisan status quo. And I think many Americans, including many independents, will see this and they'll just understand this is not right for the court, for the system. And that's how you can get a moment when you can break through an unwillingness to change how institutions work.
Julian Zelizer is a professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Virginia Cantor is chief ethics counsel with Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.